Lex orandi, lex credendi. We've all heard this. We have all heard a parish priest somewhere speak about the law of prayer is the law of belief, or how we pray shapes how we believe. Well, there is truth in this statement, and the principle bears some consideration, especially since the affirmation of the Common Cause Partnership by the Anglican Communion Network. The partnership documents speak of the agreement of all parties to a, quote, standard of worship, found in one of the historical books of common prayer, not, by the way, in the 1979 book to which so many are accustomed. Now, what, we might ask, is orthodoxy in our worship? And is there such a thing? And furthermore, does it even matter? Well, orthodoxy is a much misused word. The word translates to something like right glory, which can be understood to mean proper worship. We must be careful in the use of the word, however. Capitalized, orthodoxy refers to that portion of the Church which did not stay in communion with the Church of Rome after the Great Schism of 1054. The churches of Eastern Christendom, in communion with the Patriarch of Constantinople, are first and foremost those portions of Christendom which have not attempted to change their worship or their doctrine for nearly 1600 years. The standard Eucharistic liturgy throughout most of the year for the Eastern churches is the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, a liturgy dating from the latter half of the 4th century. Such adherence to ancient liturgical forms has resulted in a strict adherence also to faith and doctrine that has changed little in the intervening centuries. It's often said that if you wish to see how the early Christian church worshipped, all you need to do is attend Orthodox liturgy. Now, in our Anglo-Catholic circles, we often make great pains to point out the orthodoxy to which we adhere in our teaching and practice. In the modern day, in the Anglican world, there is great variety in matters of faith, and it's often quite easy to spot that which is not orthodox, but rather more difficult to see what is orthodox. Most often, what Anglicans today mean when they use the word orthodox in referring to belief is biblical or creedal orthodoxy. That is, believing in nothing that to them seems to go contrary to Holy Scripture or to the Nicene Creed. That is, admittedly, a good start, but it is only a start. Orthodoxy, as I've already said, is a much misused term. And I've said before that being mostly orthodox is kind of like being a little pregnant. There is no such thing. A good test of Catholicity and orthodoxy is something called the Vincentian Canon. It's a measure of Catholicity put forth by St. Vincent of Lerin in about the year 434. The canon states that the Catholic faith holds, and I quote, "that which has been believed everywhere, always, and by all," unquote. Quod ubique, quod semper, quod ab omnibus. To hold teachings outside of that fails the test of Catholicity, and to reject teachings within it likewise fails the test of Catholicity. One cannot be just a little pregnant, as it were. Hence, true orthodoxy within Anglicanism would adhere to the teachings which, at the very least, have been held in like fashion by our Anglican forebears. If one understands Anglicanism to stand in the unbroken stream of the ancient faith, well, one must then hold Anglicanism's feet to the proverbial fire even more closely. We must place faith in Holy Scripture as the Church Catholic has received it. We must hold like doctrine of the Trinity, the Incarnation, the two natures of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, the resurrection, the communion of saints, the sacraments, the male sacrificing priesthood, and the threefold nature of holy orders, along with a whole host of other doctrines that have passed the test of the Vincentian canon. To fail at this test is to fail the test of Catholicity, and, by extension, to fail the test of orthodoxy. For right glory is not given if right doctrine is not understood and maintained. Now, when it comes to worship, is there a definition of what orthodoxy is for Anglicans? Well, one could presume so. The Roman Catholic Church has slowly begun to reverse the erroneous course that was charted by the liturgical reforms of the Second Vatican Council in the early 1960s, and the reason for this alteration, of course, is largely over the concern that improper worship was leading to improper belief. Yes, that heterodoxy had begun to creep in as the liturgy was revised and modernized. The great desire amongst so many young Roman Catholics for the Latin liturgy of the Tridentine Rite might just issue out in a recapturing of Orthodox Roman Catholic theology, that theology which passes the test of the Vincentian canon with flying colors, and which was greatly shaped by the way in which the Roman Church prayed over and across the ages. Likewise, Anglican worship saw great revision in the 1970s, sweeping great revision, and it has greatly affected the way Anglicans believe. A seminarian in my diocese once said to me that he noticed that the 1928 Book of Common Prayer and the 1979 book were quite different in belief. But he said, the 1928 Book of Common Prayer begins with the premise that there is something wrong, that only one person can fix it, and that that person is Jesus Christ. The 1979 book, he said, assumes that we are good people who make mistakes, but things are going to be okay. Well, he had hit the nail on the head, and our belief is shaped by how we pray. Now, I'm not making an argument for the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, although it seems that we may wish to begin living into the spirit of the Common Cause Agreement and take a fresh look at this historic text. Many find there, though, to be deviations from the Catholic faith within that book as well, and therefore some priests commonly celebrate Mass from the Anglican Missal using the Gregorian Canon, a fully Catholic and Orthodox Eucharistic prayer that expresses only that which is true and easily able to pass the test of the Vincentian canon. My concern at this point, though, is that we begin to re-examine our liturgy and make a movement toward that which would be Orthodox Anglican. It's not a matter of thee and thine versus you and yours. It is a matter of proper wording and expression of theological principles within our prayers, prayer that is truly common, and in a form and ritual that would be recognizable to our Christian forebears over 1,500 years. And it's a matter of dignity and worship that expresses the universal truth that worship is not for us, but for God. It is not about how we feel, or how much we understand, or how the worship speaks to me, or how much fun we have in worship. It is not a matter of making the liturgy seeker-friendly. It is, rather, about keeping the liturgy authentic, knowing full well that Orthodox worship has never been immediately accessible or easily understood by newcomers to the faith. It is not about us. It is about God. It is about seeking to give God glory and doing so in a form that has passed the test of time, rather than being shaped by every new wind and fad. It is all about proper glory. It is all about orthodoxy.